Welcome back to the Godly Young Men Podcast, episode 162. And in this episode, we're going to discuss some things that we've talked about before. This is not new per se, but we want to get highly practical in this episode. Yes, we have some generic truths, I'd say, some general things. We also have some pretty specific, like, hey, maybe try this, go do this, this app, maybe this college, whatever it may be, to think about how do we get ahead in life. And this was spurred on because we were talking at CYC, Challenge Youth Conference. We talked about that last week, and we were recently there. And Will and I were just kind of shooting around an idea and talking about, specifically, we were talking to Heritage College. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And how much that can set up a young person in their life. Of, man, sure. Wouldn't it be great if this took place? And it just kind of the episode idea of, man, what else could you do to get ahead in life? And so our big, like the entire podcast really is about getting ahead in life as much as we can. But we wanted to distill it. And I think we have like eight different
areas. We have a lot to cover.
Yeah, we got a lot to cover. So
we want to talk about, to start the episode, why does it matter? Like, why is it important to get ahead in life? Joe, I think you can make an argument that 20, 30, 40 years ago, this was not near as important.
Sure.
Maybe not important at all. Right. I mean, you hear the stories about the guys that, you know, didn't really know what they wanted to do with their life, and they found what they wanted to do in their early 20s, and they just, you know, got married, had kids, had a great career, and life was great, right? Right. It's my personal belief, and obviously this is very much in the cultural zeitgeist right now with the economy and inflation and prices and all that, that young men really don't have that option anymore.
Correct.
There's not really an option to just kind of find yourself and just kind of explore. I'm going to take a gap year. I'm going to delay my education. I'm going to delay marriage or whatever it is. And I'll finally settle down. Like, there's not really the option anymore, because at that point, you're not going to be able to catch up to the ever-increasing inflation, the ever-increasing housing. I mean, if you ever want to own a home, if you ever want to be in a position where you can really start to put money away for retirement and set yourself up well later. And like, if you do that, I guess my point is, you're going to be working later in your life. Like, you're going to be working well into your 60s, maybe even 70s. You're not going to have the quality of life that you want to have. Whereas again, 40 years ago, pretty much everybody could reach an incredible quality of life just from kind of doing the basic stuff.
Well, yeah, you'd go in, shake hands, you know, go to the mom and pop, and firm handshake goes a long way, make eye contact. And it's like, okay, I've done the eye contact. And I went in to give my resume and all the things that they say. We've talked about it before, but it's like, and they turn me down. Now what? You know, well, we don't do it that way anymore. Just go through online. Tons of stories. And I was just talking with a guy the other day. Shout out Dallas, who putting his resume out. 300 resumes later, you know, you're just putting it out. I know a guy 2,000 resumes later, and that's what he and I were talking about, is there are guys that are literally in the 1,000, 2,000 resumes out. Guess what? They have AI going through and, you know, figuring out. You got to be on top of it at a young age. You got to know what you want. You got to go into a field where maybe that's not going to be the case. There's all sorts of things to set yourself up well, but you're hitting it on the head, which is we don't grow up in the 50s these days. Like, it is a fundamentally different, completely different time period. You got to be way ahead. You got to be on it. The gap year, the aimlessness, the we'll figure it out later is like, well, you just don't have time for that anymore. And I hate to put the, you know, so much pressure on it.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's no way to sugarcoat this. Like, if you are taking time and figuring out your life at 25, 26, to get a home and to get a wife and kids and things like that seem to be perpetually delayed. And it's just an unfortunate side effect of where we are right now.
Well, and the other thing too is, we're passionate believers, and as godly young men, you need to make enough money to where your wife can stay home.
Absolutely.
Homeschool the kids. I mean, we're, you know, going to be proud advocates of that. Again, being your wife being a stay-at-home mom, not sending your kids to public school. There is an added cost to that, if nothing else, than just you don't have extra income coming in. And so being able to afford that, life is not about having a ton of fun or having luxuries or, you know, just making a ton of money. But there's nothing unbiblical about desiring a higher quality of life. And, like, obviously that's something that we preach on this podcast, is like, wanting to be successful and wanting to set yourself up well is a good thing. The later you delay that, the later you kind of start that, the higher it is the likelihood, again, that your quality of life is just going to be lower.
Yep.
You're going to face more financial challenges. You're going to face more just kind of life challenges. That's kind of the introduction to this episode of why we believe it's necessary to, quote unquote, get ahead in life. Like, and I think you can tell this too, looking around at people your age, you can pretty easily tell, am I ahead, am I on pace, or am I behind?
Right.
Based on people my age, you don't want to always compare yourself to other people, but I mean, to be honest, purely anecdotally speaking, I was able to do that fairly often, just kind of take inventory, where am I at with my education, where am I at with money, finances, what I'm making, career, even family to some extent. Like, again, getting married young, we've advocated for before. Josh Carroll had him on for that episode 30 or so episodes ago now. Having kids a little younger, like, we're not going to talk about the family angle as much, but I don't know. There's just a lot. There's a lot of advantages to getting ahead in life and kind of getting things started a little bit earlier. So we're going to talk about some ways to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I think there's eight on our outline here. So we're not going to like absolutely fly through and give no time. On the other hand, we're going to try to move fast. And so the first one is spiritually, getting ahead in life spiritually. First thing we'd say on that is, in my opinion, start serving early in church. If you are baptized, if you're a Christian, if you have, you know, it's you're somebody that they will actually put in the pulpit, or they'll actually allow to serve on the Lord's Supper table, or whatever it may be.
This can start as early as your baptism age. So if you're thinking, oh, okay, when I'm 17, like, I mean, you're 13, 14 baptized. Like, I don't have a problem with somebody like that.
So I think I was 11 the first time that I went and served on the Lord's table. And so start serving early in church. And what that does is it causes you to, I think you take it a little more seriously instead of just being a passive, you know, okay, yeah, all these things just happen. Like, now I have to actually get up and serve. And you start small. You start by serving where you're just passing trays. Then maybe you start by reading a scripture. Then maybe you're getting up and you're praying. And then maybe they are allowing you to lead a devo on a Wednesday night or whatever it may be. Always be the first guy to volunteer on those. Even if you don't know what you're doing, it's like, Dad, can you help me? Or go to your preacher, can you help me? Because this gives you invaluable experience, and it's incredibly scary to get there. But we aim for 15 to 25-year-old men. If you start serving in your church at 15, 16, 17 years old and consistently getting up,
just the reps. Man,
exactly. Know? That's majorly going to set you apart.
The next thing we have is find events or outlets that push you. Things like camps that are, and not just like a summer camp, but like a, you know, a workshop type of camp or something that really pushes you. Obviously, there's like weekend retreats. And again, we're not really talking about youth group stuff. Let's be honest. Those don't really push you. If you want to go and have fun, great. That's not really what we're talking about. More so things that are going to push you. I mean, some of the Christian universities have events that are like, hey, you are kind of being called to do things that are a little bit harder. Find outlets for that. If you're 16, 17 years old, and again, you've got the fun fall retreat with your youth group, nothing wrong with that. And then you've got this thing that might actually be a challenge. I mean, things like PTP. I mean, neither one of us go to PTP, but like, that's one of those things that it's not exactly just a fun summer camp week. Like, you're going and you're learning some things. Yeah, good.
FPTC, you know, Future Preachers Training Camp, or Preachers Training Camp, I think. It's not Future. They do Preachers Training Camp in OKC. Those are the type of camps, I think there's a few down here in the South, those are the type of camps that, in my opinion, changed my life. Because you're going there with the expectation that I'm going to be in classes, I'm going to be learning exegesis and learning how to set up a sermon. We're working hard, I get up in front of people, they make you do that. And so I did that a lot throughout childhood, and I really do feel like that helped quite a bit on the spiritual front, because you're also meeting a lot of really good, spiritually minded kids. You're not just going to the youth camp where it's like, this kid was like knocking up a convenience store last week, you know, and now he's at the youth camp because, oh, that'd be a fun summer place for this troubled kid to go to. Like, we're, and no offense to them, but we're talking like almost like the Marines. Like, we're here for a very specific reason. Right. We're not messing around. That's huge. The other thing, I already mentioned it, learn exegesis. There's a great To Be Like Christ on YouTube.
Which exegesis is just a way to study the Bible. You're drawing things out of the text. Yeah.
Figuring out what does the text have to say. So you read the entire book first, and then you go through and you're looking for keywords, key themes, key ideas, chiasms, all sorts of stuff. So To Be Like Christ, which is Luke Taylor, he's got a great YouTube channel. He does a lot of good stuff within, you know, digging into a book and helping you better understand a book. Find really good books for exegesis. Grasping God's Word is a really good one. If you go through that and you know exegesis and how to study at a pretty early age,
the reason that's important is because you're able to read the Bible for yourself and study and find out what does it mean, what is it saying, instead of let me go find a commentary. Right. Yeah, they're all commentaries, but like,
or rather than waiting for Sunday sermon.
Correct. Yeah.
Number four, get a prayer mentor. Somebody that, and I don't just say get a prayer life. Yes, that's very important. Specifically, I would say if you can, and I didn't have this, but if you can find an older man who's willing to help you learn how to pray, or pray with you, or pray for you, or, you know, you can just talk about things, go out to lunch. Maybe that's your dad, your grandpa, a preacher, or somebody else, maybe your youth minister, whatever it may be. Find somebody that can help you mentor, and specifically ask about prayer life. How do you develop a good prayer life? Because to me, I mean, that's one of the best spiritual things that we have, one of the best tools we have that guards against Satan and that guards against depression and all of the other things, the spiritual forces of darkness, as Ephesians talks about. So from a spiritual standpoint, to get ahead, yes, be talking to older members of the congregation that can help you.
So the next category we have, that's all for spiritually, we've got quite a few to go through, so we're going to have to roll here, is vocationally. for your career, for your life, life's purpose as far as work goes. The first thing we have is define what you want to be. And I get this is really hard to do. At 15 years old, I had to choose a major because I was going to start taking college classes in my sophomore year and CLEP tests and stuff that we'll get to here in a second. And I kind of needed to know what I was going to major in, and I didn't know. I truly did not have any idea. I sort of knew what I wanted to do, but not really. And back then, you know, what I do now is nothing close to what I thought I was going to do. And so I get that this is a harder one. Yeah. I think at least having it narrowed down to like this career field really interests me. This topic or not topic, this, yeah, I guess industry really interests me. And so I feel like the longer you take to arrive at that conclusion, the more I mean, because you got guys that are 22, they're like, I don't really know what I want to do with my life. That's not great. You kind of need to know.
You got to define what is a hobby versus like an actual vocation. Because you got the guy that's like, I love photography. I'm going to be a photographer. And so they go and it's like, okay, maybe. And maybe you decide to go all the way, but the chef and the photographer and the, you know, artist or whatever it may be. Like some people do go on and actually make a living in that. It has to be a passion that is. I can do this for the rest of my life and I'm not going to burn out on it. And that's really tough to know.
Even defining like, do you want to start your own business or do you want to work for somebody else? Like what, I mean, just having, setting a path, I think is important.
And that may actually be a great question. I know we got to move on, but that might be a great question for what the hobby, like, should I make the hobby the career? Start thinking about, would you own your own business or would you go work for somebody else? Because a big part of this to set yourself up is you got to be thinking about, and it's the entrepreneurial side, you've got to be thinking about what is an area that's actually needed.
Yeah.
So let's say that society has 1,000 mailmen and, you know, 2 people that actually write letters. What should you go into? Well, mailmen are, you know, dime a dozen. We need the guy who's actually going to write the letters. And so maybe you get better at that. Maybe it's a lot harder, but there's a lot more money in it. And so from a standpoint vocationally, if you can define what you want to be, look ahead. It's not all about the money, but yes, a large portion is, can I consistently make money at this going into it, making it a career? Another option would be trade school. Consider trade school.
It's growing in popularity. Yeah.
Yeah, it's growing in popularity because blue collar jobs are really in demand right now, especially if Trump continues with the deportations and such. That's a lot of the labor force. You know, I'm not against it. I think it's great to get illegals out, but let's shoot straight. A lot of the labor force is illegals. And so you're going to have, in my opinion, a number of blue collar jobs open up. This may be your ticket in. So consider trade school where you learn something that, again, from a vocational standpoint, electricity, plumbing, carpentry, whatever it may be. I think that's a great one as well. Great thought.
Set yourself apart early and often is the next one on our list. Whatever you're doing, do it really well. You mentioned like the eye contact and the handshake. That does still matter in the sense of like once you're in a job or, you know, even if you're serving at church, like a young person that can communicate well, that makes good eye contact, that works really hard, that doesn't call out of work, all those things. You do end up sticking out. You are noticeable in a very good way because that is a little bit less common now than it was 40 years ago. I mean, we were talking beforehand about like, you know, what did we do to try to get ahead? Not in an arrogant way, but like, that's just one of the things that I focused on is no matter what I did, I was dependable. I worked really hard and it opened doors. I'm a big believer in that. If you work really hard and again, set yourself apart, you will open doors. And again, if you're doing that at 15, as opposed to waiting until you're 23 and out of college, now I'm going to start setting myself apart. Well, you just had 8 years that you could have been doing that. Maybe had more connections, more relationships, more opportunities have opened up. Starting younger really helps with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Last thing on vocational is just diversify your skills and your experience. If you can get more things, man, it just looks so good on a resume.
Yeah.
If you can learn like, hey, I mowed lawns for a summer or 2 summers or whatever, and I got really good at that. And then I learned a little bit of landscaping. Then I learned a little bit of, you know, a little coding or whatever it is. It may be a little scatterbrained, but like, think about how you might diversify some of those experiences and be open to new experiences. Hey, I got a class coming up on XYZ and they happen to have an opening, you know, with your buddy, like go take a class on coding or go take a class on whatever it may be. Cause you just never know when you're going to fall in love with something. Yeah. And so the more opportunities you have, the more experiences you have, the more that first point of defining what you want to be is going to be a lot easier for you because you've been exposed to a lot of different things. You've tried the blue collar, the white collar, things like that. So just diversify. Let's get into the third. So spiritually, vocationally, number 3 is educationally. First one goes without saying, we've had these things before. Take school seriously. Like take it seriously. Put effort into it. If you want to get ahead in life, you do need to put some serious effort into it. And what I would say is identify your areas of strength. Like I'm not a math whiz in the least. I'm kind of an idiot when it comes to math and science. Yes, I went into trigonometry, couldn't figure out how to do trigonometry to save my life. Like, I struggled the entire time. Well, guess what? I didn't go into a math field for that specific reason, because I knew I gravitated a lot more toward English and toward social studies and things like that. And so became a therapist, and it kind of worked out.
But you identified your strengths.
You identify strengths. So take school seriously, and as you're doing it, recognize, man, I really have a thing for STEM. Great. Maybe identify that in terms of where you might go in college.
Next thing we have is consider dual enrollment. Again, I mentioned earlier, like, I started taking some college courses very early. Joe's got here. Go ahead and share what you got there from Heritage Christian University. Go ahead.
Heritage, this is their dual enrollment program, which is high school and college credit at the same time. So we're not sponsored by Heritage, maybe in the future, right? We're not sponsored by Heritage, but all they say is easy to apply. Their curriculum, general education courses such as biology, public speaking, world history, English composition, many more. $100 a course, plus books and materials. So $100 a course, and in grades 10, 11, and 12, you can actually come out with your associate's degree by the time you're done with
it. It's super. I mean, I didn't use Heritage, but that's basically what I did. I started sophomore year. I clept out of some things, so got college credits that way, and then just started dual enrolling. I think I graduated high school with over 50 credits for college.
That's incredible.
Over 50 college credits. So yeah, I would highly recommend that, mainly because if you just apply yourself in the least, high school is not that hard. Like, it's pretty easy. I'm not trying to insult anybody who it might be a challenge for them, but, like, for the most part, high school is fairly easy. And so if you ratchet up that challenge a little bit, especially junior and senior year, senior year is notoriously easy for high school students. So if you can ratchet up that intensity and that challenge level a little bit, man, you can be way ahead for graduating with a bachelor's degree.
CLEP tests were a great option. CLEP. Check those out. CLEP tests. You can go and CLEP an entire, I CLEPed 30-something.
Explain what that means.
So I don't even know what it stands for. But basically what you're doing is college level something, exam something. You are taking pretty much like a college final in one test, and you're getting all of the credits up to that point. And so I took English composition with essay, which was 6 college credits. I took it in one test. And a lot of these...
College level examination program.
There you go. College level examination program. Seriously, look into CLEP tests. If you are interested and look into something like Heritage for the dual enrollment, you could come out with most of a college degree by the time you're done.
You really can't. I took 7. Failed 1. I was so upset. Yeah. Natural sciences as well. Oh my goodness.
I failed 2. I took 12.
Jeez.
12 or 13, I failed 2. I failed biology, but I hadn't taken biology. That was after Bear Valley.
Okay.
I took
those biology. Sciences, man. They're getting us.
Legitimately, I took biology when I was 13 years old. I was a sophomore, I think, 13 years old. And so by the time I took it again, I was like 19. And like, I don't remember any of this, zygotes and everything else. So I failed that one. Failed American history.
American history?
I actually thought it was like George Washington and presidents and wars. No. It was black history and women's history. And I didn't know any of those. Legitimately, it was as woke.
Did you read the books or no?
I read some of the books, and I don't know if they just updated the test. It was as woke as anything, and it's like,
oh man,
what is going on? I didn't study Harriet Tubman. I studied George Washington because I'm sorry, he's a little bit more important. Apparently not. Anyways, yeah, I'm still bitter about it all these years later. Check out CLEP tests. It is a way to get ahead. Again, as we're talking about getting ahead in life, the dual enrollment and things like that. Imagine coming out at 18 years old. Half a degree already down. You're done with your degree by 20 years old. You cruise into it. If you go master's or whatever it may be, you're already well ahead in life. And if especially if you know where you want to go and define what you want to be, and you defined what you're already good at, maybe STEM, and you can go right into it. What people don't tell you about college, and then we'll get off of this. What people don't tell you about college, though, is the first couple of years are either replaying high school because they want to make sure you actually know how to write a paper and read books and things like that. And it's all these elective courses and things like that. You can CLEP out of that. The last 2 years are going to be very specialized. You're not going to be able to CLEP out of those. You're not going to be doing dual enrollment on electives and on like English composition classes, basic college mathematics. No, that's where you're going to get into like the serious studies in the last 2.
Depending on what your major is. Yeah.
But again, by 20, you can have a degree. That sets you ahead in life. So consider Heritage, consider CLEP test, consider any place that's really doing dual enrollment. We just believe, you know, Heritage is great. And again, we're not sponsored by them, but they do good work. Get us into number 4.
Yeah, financially is the next one. This was a big one for me. I mean, anybody who knows me decently well, and even if you've listened to the podcast, you know that I kind of geek out over finances, and specifically personal finances and setting yourself up well. This is where I believe if you have a job in high school, you make $400 a week, you don't need to be spending $400 a week. I mean, there's high school kids that literally they go to work to make money just so they can spend all their money. And so I would encourage you, save as much of your money as you can. Yes, have fun, right? You're a teenager, go to the movies, go out to eat, like, of course. you know, set some aside for that. But I would say be very intentional about saving. I mean, full transparency, I got married at 19 and had $20,000, $25,000, I think, actually saved up by the time I got married. And yeah, it set me ahead. I know that's not a lot of money or anything. There's people that have way more than that when they get married, but usually they're older. They're quite a bit older. And so it just, it sets you up, gives you a little cushion. You're not going to have to go into any major debt if you have that kind of a cushion saved up generally, specifically when you get married. And so, yeah, saving early is kind of the first, is I think the most important thing if you're in that 15, 16-year-old range, or year-old range, and you have a way to make money. Like, make sure you're setting a good amount aside. It's not a financial literacy episode, but you can start investing as early as you want. Yep. Big believer in that. So yeah, I'm passionate about this
one. Even playing around with Coinbase, you know, you can go there and buy some crypto. Even that's a little bit fun. Every Dollar app is great. If you're in a budget, use the Every Dollar app.
I use it every day.
We have Monarch, you know, that's a fun one as well. There's a ton of apps out there, but what I would say, even like, I don't recommend all his content, but Caleb Hammer for Financial Audit, are you familiar with him? He's got an entire course of money-making things and, you know, a little crass, a little crude from time to time, but Financial Audit has some really good stuff as well. And so just do your research on some financial ends of things. Make sure you're saving early. The other thing is, yes, go to school online. If you want to get ahead and you're talking about money, taking on a ton of debt at 18, 19, 20 years old that you're going to be saddled with for the rest of your life at insane interest rates, don't do it.
It's a major myth, and people are starting to figure it out, that you have to go to attend a four-year university to have a legitimate degree. Like, that's just not true.
It's not true.
Chick-fil-A right now, actually, a lot of Chick-fil-A's offer basically a program where if you work for Chick-fil-A, you can get your bachelor's and all the way up to your master's completely free. Like, that's Chick-fil-A, incredible. Like,
go to Chick-fil-A.
Like, our restaurant pays basically a monthly subscription so that anybody who works for us can go to literally get a bachelor's for free and get a master's for free, graduate
debt
free with that kind of degree from legitimate universities. And so obviously you don't have to work for Chick-fil-A for that. There's plenty of options that they might not be free, but whole lot cheaper. You're able to work, you know, a lot more. And so you're making money while you're in school. Yeah. It's a grind for 2, 3, 4 years, however long it is, but man, that getting into your career, your marriage, especially with basically no debt, especially student loan debt, is, I would say, maybe the number one way you can get ahead right now in life. Because there are so many people that buy into the law, even if it's not much, $30,000, $40,000 in student loan debt, that'll stick with you for a while. You're landing a $500,000 a year job. That will stay with you for a while.
Yeah, look for cheap ways to do it. CLEP tests are $100, or at least they were when I was doing, or $80 when I was doing. I think they're a little bit more. These classes, you know, $100 for enroll. Look for cheap ways to do it. So financially, you just got to be thinking ahead and thinking, do I really want the debt to be with me for forever? And again, the interest rates are terrible. That's why, you know, the other thing about it is going out and it's like, oh man, I have money to go get a car or whatever. And so people want to go out and they get the nice car.
Yeah.
Insurance, by the time you're done with insurance, by the time you're done with payment, you're talking $750 a month or whatever it may be. And it's a cool car, but like, you got to be thinking about the debt that you're saddling yourself with on the front end before you're really into a career, before you can determine how much you're going to make. So just be aware of those things. Be thinking financially. A lot of guys don't think financially and it's like, oh, we'll get there later. And then, yeah, you're broke by the time you hit marriage. You know, I was not thinking financially very smart at all early on. And so you start to come into these things. It's a lot better to set yourself up early. Number five on our list is emotionally.
I'm going to let you kind of blaze through all of these and I'll add any thoughts.
Next one's a little longer. On the emotional end, if you are really struggling emotionally, if you have, let's say, parental issues, attachment issues, or whatever it may be, and you realize, man, I'm not happy with life, I'm insanely depressed, or I am incredibly anxious, or I got a lot of attachment issues, or I got addictions, or I got all of these things, consider therapy. Yes, as a therapist, of course, I'm going to say consider therapy. Message us. You know, I'll point you in the right direction. There may be Psychology Today is a great place to go. You can check off Christian. You can check off a type of therapy, trauma-informed or whatever it may be. Yeah, you have to be careful with it. A lot of them are going to give you a 15-minute free consultation. You can ask them certain questions, have those lined up on what exactly you want to ask. What are your thoughts on the Bible? What are your thoughts on, you know, depending on what you want to do? How would you handle this? I'm struggling with this. Just kind of what does that look like to have this handled? If they're the therapy for life type people, avoid them. Well, you know, we'll just kind of see, and it's the journey and those type of words. Like, I'm just not a big fan
There's
of
certain
that.
Buzzwords that are indicators.
Correct. Which I shouldn't get too bad about the journey because that's partly on my website. But start your journey to mental health. But I'm one of those, like, you shouldn't be in therapy for forever. You'll become your own therapist working with me, in my opinion. That's kind of the point. But Psychology Today may be one. Consider EQ tests, you know, or books online. There's a couple books. Emotional Intelligence 2.0 is a very well-known one. And then there's another one, I can't remember the name of it. But if you Google it, there's two that are kind of well known for that. There's EQ tests, so emotional quotient instead of intelligence quotient, instead of IQ. Emotionally, where do you stand? And if you're struggling emotionally, yeah, consider therapy if you have some serious issues, trauma, things like that you need to work through. But even on this, how well do you know your emotional self? Mm. Are you able, do you have a high EQ, or you're always kind of like, you know, behind on those things? Consider reading some of those books. The last two, I just say real briefly, improve your relationship with your parents. If you have a negative relationship, if you want to improve emotionally, I guarantee you that's going to be one of the best things you can do, is improve your relationship. Yeah. This is going to be backed up from Jordan Peterson. A lot of people talking about father wounds and really working on those things. We've got an episode all the way back on that. Last thing, take a self-inventory occasionally. And this would be where journaling really comes in, is like, do I like myself? Am I okay with who I am? Am I good at the things that I want to be good at? Where is my trajectory?
What and if am I I'm not, how can I get there?
Correct. You may look in the mirror and go, I don't like myself at all. Okay, why? And you know, is there any specific thing holding you back? And what would you do to fix that? So from an emotional standpoint, a lot of this is just going to be paying attention to, where do I stand? What are my emotions? Mm-hmm. What are the emotions of others? Is where empathy comes in, and EQ. Consider some of those options. Anything you'd add to that?
I don't think so. Let's get into relationally. I appreciate you covering that one. Man, we got a lot on here. I think the biggest thing that I would say, so relationally, obviously, we're talking marriage. We're talking, you know, finding girls. Passion for me, reading. Read books on marriage.
Yeah.
Just read. I know reading's not fun. I know it's not cool. I know it's not, you know, trendy at all right now for guys to read. Read books on marriage. Talk to people who you just really admire their marriage. I mean, this is something that there's so many bad marriages out there, so many. Even in the church, like unfortunately a lot in the church. They're just not good marriages, not healthy marriages. When you find people that, man, I want that, or that's amazing, almost interview them. Like, how did you get there? Yeah, what exactly did you do? What are things? I mean, I think we need to get a lot better at recognizing great marriages and picking their brain. What did you do well? What did you not do? And again, typically, not all the time. If there's a book on it, then this person, then generally, like if somebody's written a book on marriage, generally their marriage is probably pretty good, hopefully. You know, don't just trust it just because it's a marriage book, but you know, find good marriage books. I know Joe's probably got a dozen recommendations, but read those books, because at the very least, it's going to broaden your horizon. You're going to, you know more, you know, techniques, or you're going to know way more about just kind of how to deal with certain scenarios and stuff. You're going to know what you're looking for. And so, yeah, I mean, he's got, he's probably grabbing one right now. I'm a big believer in reading books. And specifically, if you're 16 years old, know your marriage is 4 or 5 years on the horizon, go ahead and start learning as much as you can about marriage.
Two books I'd add real fast. We've talked about this one before. 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work.
You see that one.
I think it's just a great... John Gottman has a ton of different resources that I like. He's Jewish. He, you know, has LGBTQ stuff, so full transparency. I'm not as big a fan of that, obviously. On the other hand, a lot of really good advice as a massive marriage expert. He's more of a marriage scientist, and he's got a lot of good findings in there. This is a great book. Find books on your role. What am I supposed to do? That's where, I think I've also talked about this one before, The Covenant Household from Doug Wilson, is a great, great book for what does this practically look like? What am I supposed to do in the home? There's another one on my shelf over here, Masculine Christianity from Zach Garris. Check that one out as well. Read books and get acquainted with what am I supposed to do in the marriage. By the time I get there, like, what's my role? What's her role? You know, what does a good marriage look like? And that's why I'd say also take the 5 love language tests online. What is your love language? Can you adequately explain that to your spouse of like, I really enjoy gifts, or I really enjoy acts of service, or quality time, or, you know, affection or words of affirmation, whatever it may be. Like, do you know yourself? This goes to the EQ point of the last one. Take the 5 love languages test ahead of time and just do your research. There's hardly anything more attractive for a woman than a masculine man who does know himself.
Yep.
He's aware
confident
of who, he's confident, he's competent, he's aware of his emotions, all those things. So do that. The other thing is I'd say, as you're reading these books, set a vision for what you want your marriage to look like in the future. If you want to get ahead,
write it down.
Write it down. This is what I think marriage could be and what it should be. And if you can adequately say, and I think you and I both, I don't know if you wrote it down, I don't know if I wrote it down, but I think both of us ahead of marriage could probably adequately say, this is what I think a good marriage looks like. Some of it's going
to
be
good communication, very romantically attracted to each other beyond just 6 months, the first, you know, 6 months. So those are kind of the first two things that come to mind. Like, we communicate really well. We want to be together. I mean, see these Gen Xer marriages. It's like, do you guys get along?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like the spark just died after like 3 years. Never wanted that.
Yeah, we're best friends. You know, we are on the same page when it comes to raising kids.
Yes.
We both are spiritually fulfilled in our roles at church. you know, I'm helping draw her closer to marriage. She's or closer to God. She's helping me draw closer to God. Those are the type of things that, man, just set the vision and be aware of those
things. We're going long on this episode. Yeah. Every now and then it calls for it. There's just a lot to discuss when it comes to getting ahead in life. One more thought on relationally, Joe, and then if you want to add any other ones. Make good connections.
Yeah.
Look around in your life, again, at your job or whatever it is. Who's successful? This is not a, like, you know, go buddy up to them and try to, you know, just, you know, kind of in a slimy type of way be their right. friend. No, not that at all. But, like, look for successful people. And once again, maybe even just interview, talk to them. Like, how did you get to this point? Like, just, I'm a firm believer in who you surround yourself with is going to basically be your ceiling mm-hmm. as a person. If you surround yourself with a bunch of losers, your ceiling is not going to be very high. Versus most successful people in the world surround themselves with successful people. Athletes are the same. And so, again, this is not to say, oh, you're you know, you have this socioeconomic status. Not going to associate with you. Not like that. My point is, make good connections. Find successful people. Find people at your church or whatever it is that are just high-quality people and make connections with them.
What is the what's that phrase? Like, you're the average of your five closest friends or whatever? Like,
sure, yeah. You know, I've heard that before.
It's that concept of who are you hanging out with? And that's what I had on here just from a friendship standpoint. Seek high-value friends and cut and lose the losers, you know, the low-value people, the people that drag you down. This, if we're seriously thinking about getting ahead, you having knucklehead friends is going to drag you down faster than you realize. Yep. Because it's not a matter of, well, I don't do the bad things they do. I don't do the drugs, or I don't get into the drinking, or I don't chase girls or whatever. Yeah, but you're also not getting anybody that's pulling you up. And so if you're always the top dog, you're always the guy having to pull your friends up, drags you down. I'm sorry, but distance yourself and find other people that are actually going to pull you to a new high standard. The only other thing I'd say on this is, man, when it comes to relational, and it goes along with making good connections, put yourself out there. Go to conferences. Go to places where the girls are going to be, where you can meet their dads. You can shake hands. You can do whatever it may be. If you're looking for a girl to set yourself ahead in life, there's a lot of people that are like, man, there's no girls in my church, and where am I going to find them? So I guess I have to go to college to find the girl type of thing. Like, not necessarily, but you do have to put yourself out there. You got to be wheeling and dealing to some degree. You know what I mean? Not in a cheesy way, but like, shaking hands and meeting people, and they go, hey, I got, you know, my friend's daughter would be perfect for you. That's how you get it, is a connection. So much it's who you know these days.
Sure.
Not just what you know. So do that.
Two more categories.
Two more categories. Number seven, right? Number seven, I think, is physically. Physically. So when we're thinking about getting ahead, yes, it's going to be from a health standpoint. Get a gym membership. We talked about this in the last episode, gym etiquette, right? Maybe you have it at home. That's okay. That's perfectly fine. But I'd say a gym membership, if you don't have the money, ask your parents for your money. See if your dad will go to the gym with you type of thing. See if you can get your brother to go to the gym.
Or, and if they're not okay with that, or if you can't drive or something, again, there's a lot of workouts you can do at home.
Correct.
Like, a lot.
And the nice thing about the gym membership, the only reason why I put it down that way, is not just having a gym routine, is like, there's something about locking yourself in. There's something about actually, you know, you are putting your money where your mouth is, where it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to work out type of thing. Sometimes the free videos, maybe if you're really disciplined, you're disciplined, so it works out. I know how I used to be before there was gym, which is like, oh yeah, I'll get to it. I never get out of bed. It's a YouTube video. Well, which YouTube video? There's a bazillion, you know, so you psych yourself out and you never do it. So when I put my money where my mouth is, like, okay, yeah.
The gym membership should be the number one priority for sure.
Yeah, there you go. Number two, I just put this down here, so I'm sure Will has some books. Bigger, Leaner, Stronger, I find to be a very good resource for real practical information. He's going to give you practical information on, you know, types of workouts, why it works, you know, diets, what you actually need, the macros and things like that. And so he goes into all of it. Very practical, very meat and potatoes. He's not getting fancy with it. He's not doing anything. It's like, whoa, I've never heard that before. But it's just a very solid resource from, if you want to get ahead, check out Bigger, Leaner, Stronger. He's got the workbook that goes along with it. I think that would be very helpful.
The last thing Joe's got on here, I think is interesting, is pay attention to your macros. I think just paying attention to what you eat as well. Like, as maybe a sub point of this.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
Is there an element of you're young, you can eat kind of like garbage and it not affect you as much? There is. I would still encourage you to be mindful of it, if that makes sense. Like, do you need to be on keto and, you know, at 16 years old and intermittent fast? Probably not. Again, go out with your friends, have ice cream, like, go to Chick-fil-A, I wouldn't do it every day. But my point is, you're at least mindful. You kind of know, like, we're a seed oil conscious family at this point, right? So, again, like, that, there's different families are going to have different standards, I suppose. But I think paying attention to it, you got the macro point on here, like, be mindful of the protein. How much protein are you getting? How much water are you drinking? Stuff like that. If you wait until you're 23 to kind of consider all that, you're probably not going to be in great physical shape.
Right.
Versus 16-year-old, kind of mindful. It's just going
to
set you up better.
The only reason I said macros, before we get to the last one, the only reason I said macros specifically is calorie counting, you know, at your age, especially if you're
there's
young,
really no need to at 17.
There's not really a need to at 17, but there is a need to know, am I hitting my protein? And do I have a significant amount of fat? I'm getting like 30 grams of protein a day and 80 grams of fat. Like, okay, you need to know. So look it up online. ChatGPT is great for this. You know, even Bigger Leaner Stronger goes into this. Like, there are calculators of what you need at your size, your weight, all of those things. So plug it in online, figure it out, and then just pay attention. Generally speaking, to the macros, make sure you're getting that, especially if you're hitting the gym, get your protein. Last but not least, number eight, personally. I'll say this and I'll let you finish up on the last two. First one, Jeff Myers was a big part of us growing up, big part of our curriculum that my mom gave us in our homeschooling. He runs Summit Ministries, and he did a lot on worldview, establishing a proper worldview. I'm not going to say everything he's ever done is fantastic. I think most of what I've seen is really, really good. He runs a camp, though, every summer out in Berthoud. Which one is it? So somewhere in Colorado. It's down toward the Springs. Berthoud's north. Manitou Springs. That's the one I couldn't think of. Manitou Springs. And it's a beautiful place close to Air Force Academy, and he runs a camp every year. Maybe something to consider from a personal development standpoint. It's how to be a leader. It's how to, because I was trying to think, like, where would you put that on this list? It's not really relational on the kind leadership
self-growth.
Side.
Self-growth.
It's just a self-growth. Yeah. Exactly. Self-care, self-growth, things like that. If you want to be the best man you can be, find resources like this, such as a Summit Ministries camp where you're learning how to be a leader, how to be a high-value person. You're learning about things that you're just not going to run into very much otherwise. You know, figure out how to go camping and maybe join Trail Life or whatever it may be.
Sure.
You may be a little old for that, but, you know, go join something that's going to teach you maybe outdoor skills or something that helps you feel like, man, I've got mastery over some part of my life. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, that's good. You got on here, we've got on here, quit all forms of porn and lust. Quit all vices is, you know, kind of the way that I'd put, obviously, porn and lust being the most significant ones. You're not going to get ahead in your life the more time you spend doing that stuff. Again, vaping, certainly drugs, alcohol, stuff like that. Joe, the people that Joe's, you know, works with every day, I mean, he's way more equipped to talk about this than I am, but like, you're just not going to get ahead if that's how you're spending your late hours of the night or your, you know, mid-afternoon or whatever it is. And so quit all those things. Read books. Read the classics. Broaden your horizons. Read books like The 5 a.m. Club, Atomic Habits, books that, you know, maybe are not necessarily fun, fictional, you know, enjoyment books, but books that you're going to broaden your skills, you're going to broaden your knowledge. YouTube videos as well. Obviously YouTube, people can get on and just kind of watch fun stuff. There's a lot of educational stuff on there.
Good podcasts as well.
A lot of different ways. Of course, subscribe, like, rate, and review the Golly Amen podcast as well. That'll help, you know.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, grow yourself. I think it's really important.
Just got to have a mind for it, you know, be mindful of, and we're throwing a lot at you again, eight different ways on how to grow yourself. So what I would say,
how to get ahead.
Yeah. What I would say is pick one or two right now. If you're really struggling, if you're looking at going, man, I need to grow in all of these areas. The easiest thing is like, okay, I want to do everything at once. You will burn out.
Yeah.
Pick one or two areas that you say, I really need some help in this area, and I'm going to, you know, focus on this. Spiritually might be number one. We want to get right with God. But look in these different areas, determine which way, you know, what all do we have on here? We got spiritually, vocationally, educationally, financially emotionally, relationally, physically, and personally. Make that list. Will can put this graphic up on the screen. Figure out which one you're weakest in. Pick one or two, and I would say get to work on those things. These are just, it's a smattering. We try to cover a lot. We've gone long, so we apologize, but it's a smattering of all the ways that there are to grow. But man, we really believe that getting ahead is the secret to a good life right now, especially in this economy, especially where we are today, is we need godly young men that are going to rise up, be fantastic men, leading their families, leading the church, going to the future. It starts today. It starts at a young age.
No thoughts to add, Joe. This has been episode 162, right? 162
yep.
Of the Godly Young Men podcast. We appreciate you watching, listening. We'll be back next week.